Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We're here with Dr. Pat Allen on the air, Empowered Communications. Our show tonight is about types of relationship. Dr. Allen, you're on.
Good evening. I'm so happy to be here. I like teaching my principles. You know, I teach virtue through science, and that's pretty good. So what about this business of relationships? You know, it's whether it's parent and child, it's man and woman, woman, man, woman. So it's whenever you're in an agreed-upon relationship. The first one I want to talk about is very equal. It's like two sisters, two brothers, two kids, siblings. It's where both people are individuals. They're not codependent, which is a good form of relationship if you happen to like it. But in a convenient relationship, it takes two I's to make a we, to make an us. Now, what would the two I's be? Well, they're very, very compatible in that they are maybe within the right age bracket. They might be within the same educational development, or they could be conveniently both lawyers or both doctors or people. And what is the relationship about? It's about negotiating your wants and your not wants equitably. But here's the killer. Here's where I'm doing my political, you know, I am not always politically correct. Equality is great at work, and equality is great in relatedness, except that when you want to be in a convenient relationship that includes love and sexuality, you probably have to watch out for too much equality. And the reason for that is equal communication produces competition. So when I deal with people, I ask them, do you want a convenient relationship wherein you're both fairly equal in money and you're fairly equal in responsibilities around the house and around the business and whatever, but you want to be in an intimate relationship? Now, this intimacy, when it's erotic, there are different kinds of intimacy. For example, there's maternal-paternal intimacy. That's daddy and mommy with a kid. Then there's filial intimacy. That's the kids growing up, taking care of grandma, grandpa, and maybe dad and mom when they're older. Then there's friends, with or without perks. Friends are fairly equal. And then there's erotic. Now, erotic relationships, whenever you go equal in an erotic relationship, even if you're gay, even if you're a lesbian, you've got to be careful of the communication. I think, what do you think? I want, what do you want? I feel, what do you feel? I don't want, what do you not want? Can end up in a competition. And that competition can produce enough anxiety to really do damage to the relationship. So here's what I did with my doctoral work, which is titled Androgynous Semantic Realignment. Now, what's androgynous? Is that gay? Is that lesbian? No. Androgynous is quantum physics applied to the energy of a human being. You see, the Chinese over 2,000 years ago were demonstrating quantum physics in their design called the yin-yang. And by the way, I just must give you a good book about it, The Yin Yang Way of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. And it applies to almost everything in life. They discuss the energy exchange. Now, in a convenient relationship in which you do have love or sexuality, you've got to watch out for complementarity. Androgynous means every man has a yang body, but a yin soul, the anima. So he's androgynous. Every woman has a yin body, but a yang soul. So there are four energy systems in each relationship. And in a convenient relationship, when I work with my couples, straight, gay, or lesbian, I tell them, look, complementary communication enhances intimacy, whereas equal communication is competitive. So here's how it would sound in a convenient. I think this. How do you feel about that? What can I do to help us feel better? And the other person, I don't feel very good about this or that. What do you think about doing this or that? And what can I do to help us do better? So ultimately, in a convenient relationship, when it's a friendship or when it's non-sexual, it can be equal. I don't want. But once you include love, whether it's symbiotic love, the love of a parent for a little tiny kid, or filial love, which is the kid's grown up, is now taking care of mom and dad and grandpa, and grandma, is fairly prevalent since our population is, in fact, becoming more and more gray with age. And therefore, I like to teach people that love each other to speak in a complimentary fashion. I feel, what do you think? What can I do to help us feel better? I don't feel very good. What do you think? What can I do to help us do better? So that's a convenient relationship. And that might include equal money. It might even include a woman who wants to be cherished making more money than the man she's with who makes less money but still wants to be respected. So that's my description, and I would be more than willing to explain it if you call and ask. The second relationship is a codependency. This is a relationship where one person wants to be respected and cherished, and the other person is willing to follow suit with whatever the 10 wants. It's a 10-0 relationship. You might call it dominator and dominated. It doesn't have to be sadomasochistic, but it may. And so in a codependent relationship, you don't have equality. You have an agreement that one person gets respect and cherishing, and the other person will and shall follow suit, or else there will be a problem. The third relationship is what you might think of as a traditional, and it's legally called a covenant in some states. Those states are diminishing, by the way. They used to be Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. In those states, if you married, you could then go back and request a covenant training program done by a therapist like myself, in which one person would literally agree to be the breadwinner for the family. That person would give up their right, basically, to lay around the house, be a couch potato. As long as they were paying for the bills, they would be respected. The other person agrees to be the homemaker, Now, if you go to the New York Times, December 7th of 2014, you're going to see a big front page article about more men today want to be homemakers. And I was listening to the radio the other day, because I like the radio, that's why I'm here. 18% of all families are now, the caregiver is the man.
And Dr. Allen, you have a call coming in. Would you like to take it?
Sure.
Yes, all right, sure. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. If I can answer your question, it's going to go better.
Oh, is it Pat? Hey, how's it going?
I'm Pat, and it's going fine. So, what's your question?
Listen, I was just listening to a new talk on the radio. It's a big one, Valentine's here weekend, you know. And as you know, a lot of men are not perceiving this holiday like most women, okay?
That's so, right. Do you know why?
Because women, we tend to make a big deal. A lot of men say, a lot of men don't make a big deal of this holiday.
I'll tell you why. Women are interested in relatedness. Women are interested in physicality, feelings, and femininity. And femininity really likes to be cherished, especially at Christmas, anniversaries, birthdays, Valentine's Day, and just spontaneously. So females who like being females like to receive, like to be available to receive, and respect those that give, protect, and cherish. Now, men are into maleness, mentality, and money. And a lot of times, they don't like to be told that it's time to buy a present or a card. They like to do it when they want to do it. So it is a woman's game to get cherished, and many men's games to be respected.
So my question is, what I know this is right, okay? I know this was the answer. However, my man, when I talked about Valentine's Day 2 weeks ago, I said it would really mean a lot to me. Valentine's is coming if we do something. He said, well, it's 2 weeks away, and I don't celebrate holidays anyway.
So he
turns
you
down. That?
What you say to yourself is he 51% valuable or isn't he? What is the one reason I'm with him on the days I don't like him? So what is the reason you're with this gentleman?
Okay, I'm not going to get into this on the air, obviously.
Oh, I see. You like sex. Great. You know, sometimes a good lover is better than a Valentine card.
Okay. All right. Well, it may not be that reason, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that as equitable. Whatever you treasure, that's what cherishes you. And what he does obviously cherishes you because you're with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So enjoy him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Dr. Allen, we have another call coming in.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm going to get my covenant in. Hello?
Looks like we lost her.
Well, I'll sneak in my covenant. A covenant is where one person is a breadwinner and the other person is a homemaker. And they agreed legally and signed documents that they will not divorce unless it's horrendous, like murder, like rape, like horrible abuse. So this used to be in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. Now it's only in Louisiana.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. We got some emails after your show last week, and we have some really great questions that came in.
Great.
Oh, we've got our caller back. Hold on. All right, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Pat?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ask me a question.
Okay, Dr. Allen. My question is about a lady who called previously about Valentine's card.
Yes.
Does that mean that if our man doesn't want to give us a card and it's maybe not romantic or it's not there is no sweetness, but he's 51% available because of the money, because of the kids, because of the religion, then we just stay and not be really happy and don't feel really cherished?
I want you to understand, if that man is taking care of you and he is paying the bills, I've got news for you. He's a good man. I know he might not be romantic. There are a lot of romantic men out there that don't work well. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So you personally have to decide what you need. Do you need to have a man that is financially available and willing to give? Or do you need a man who basically is a cuddly man, a sexual man, but he doesn't really like to work? And you may actually be the breadwinner, which I don't have a problem with. If you are willing, do it.
But how some women have a man who gives them flowers and makes money, buys them Mercedes for a birthday, everything romantic and financial.
I want you to know they formed a union that they like. Now, when you're out looking for a man, he's looking for you. Women generally do better if they pick with their ears. Men usually pick with their eyes. Men, according to Harvard's study, two-thirds of them want sensual and sexual security at home. One-third of men want status and money. They like their women working or paying half the bills or whatever. Two-thirds of women, according to the study, want status, Mrs. So-and-so, and they want financial stability, which hopefully helps them raise their kids in a decent lifestyle. One-third of women want sensual and sexual, and they're called cougars. Those women often like playboys, toy boys, whereas a real lady might really appreciate a generous man who's willing to work hard for them and help them raise kids in a decent way. So each of us has our own needs and our own wants. May I ask what yours is? Do you want a man to cherish you with cards and things, or do you want him to be a giving, protecting, cherishing man who may not be as romantic as you want, but wanting is very masculine. And when a man doesn't feel appreciated or respected, he often gets depressed.
Yeah. My man is actually very generous, very giving. He works hard, and he loves you. I was really touched by that woman, thinking my husband is generous financially, and he's romantic, gives me cards, and he's funny and everything.
Well, then guess
so
what?
I basically have everything a woman would want. I felt sorry for this other lady.
I got news for you. That's why she's listening to me on the radio, because I'm going to help her and others like her to go out hunting and attract a man who is what they want. But until you get the man you want, appreciate the one you've got. You don't quit a job before you get one.
And what about affairs? Because if a man cannot get what he wants in home, he goes out and gets a feminine secretary over a few nights. Can a woman do the same?
Men tend to be less sharing than women. More women will keep a man who has affairs more than a man will keep a woman who's having affairs. Men are not built to share. They're very territorial. So you've got to be careful. I'm not a purist. I'm a therapist. If people are willing to have affairs, they better be willing to pay for having one. You can do anything you want as long as you're willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we have some questions that were sent ahead, and one of them I think really is poignant for this time period with respect to Valentine's Day being here. She says, my husband and I are using all of your tools, but I still don't understand. We're not having much sex, and I want to know what I can do to spice up our sex life.
Well, number one, do you take care of your body? Because men tend to like to look at and touch bodies that they are attracted to. So are you doing your half of the work? So most men want sensual and sexual stability at home. Most women want stature, Mrs. So-and-so, and financial stability. So it's a fair trade. If he is doing his half, then you better do your half.
That's very interesting. And here's one from a gentleman who sent us a message. I think maybe they get a little shy and they don't want to be on the radio. So he says...
Yet.
Yeah.
They'll be on.
He says, my wife wants to try tantra and other sexual things, and I don't think we need it. How do I make her stop bugging me about it?
Ask her, sit down sometime, and negotiate. Write up a list, each of you, of sexual fantasies that you'd like to live out with each other. I call it a fantasy of the month club, where you really get creative. You know, you do the candlelights and the whatever and the long socks and the whatever you call a fantasy. Because one of the things we know is sameness dulls anything, including sex. So it would be good. I just heard that 25 Shades of Grey is coming out.
50 Shades of Grey.
50
right.
Shades, well, the way it is. And the person that was advertising it said that it's really going to be a bestseller. Well, maybe that could do something. In other words, sameness leads to dullness. So how about a creative fantasy, sensual sexual experience once a month?
Right. So that's part of what you've been talking about with respect to negotiation. And
yes.
Part of the contract that you make when you're negotiating a relationship with a person.
Right.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm sure they're listening, and I hope that they're pleased that their questions are getting asked. Here's one that's really interesting, and I want to ask this question because I have a follow-up question for it. This person says, I don't want to have sex unless I'm drunk. Dr. Allen, that sounds like a red flag to me. It is. It's worrisome.
It is. It sounds like a person who's been abused or molested or raised inappropriately to think that sex is evil. Some religions do some very damaging things around the issue of sex. It's almost as if God created everything but genitals, and that's not true. We are created to be sensual, sexual creatures, and whatever moral code you have, wherever you got it, I hope that it didn't include bad things. So people, men that need to drink or use drugs in order to be sexual, generally are knocking out their brains in order to do what feels good, but they don't have permission to do it. Maybe their mother was molested, and she conveys that ugliness to her son and demonstrates it for her daughter as well. So very often, people who have to drink, men drink and use drugs in order to not know what they feel scared and bad about. Women use, oftentimes more than men, mind-altering sugar, candies, cakes. That's a mind-altering chemical now, the
right.
Government stated. So men tend to drink and use hard drugs more than women. Women sneak off with their sugar stuff. So when a woman uses mind-altering chemicals, she basically doesn't want to feel what she knows. And she, too, may have been molested or abused. So if you need chemicals to be sexual, do yourself a favor and find a person like myself. Or tantric yoga classes are great. That's an ancient form of sex therapy created in India. And I have couples that I recommend that they go there to learn. It's really upgrading your foreplay skills. Men are very much interested in sex. But we women, we love the affection of foreplay. So the combination makes for good lovemaking.
That's awesome. Here's another one that I'd really love for you to answer, because it really goes to the heart of what's going on this weekend. Since my divorce, I can't fall in love again. It's been 20 years since I fell in love. How can I fall in love again? What do I do? Am I broken? Am I ruined?
You have to get a divorce. Apparently, you're still bonded to the person you were with. And bonding is a physical event. Bonding is when your body belongs to another human being and you're unwilling to threaten that bond by going dancing. And if you don't know how to dance, go to dance class, because dance classes often go dancing after class and flirting and attracting. You may have to desensitize your marriage body-wise by being unfaithful to that former husband. And it's not going to feel good for a while, but if it works, you're going to be attracted physically to someone else. And that's going to take you away from the marriage that no longer exists legally or physically, but is still in your heart and your mind. And it's limiting you from getting on with your life. So desensitize your marriage by being unfaithful, by going places. And I particularly recommend dancing because it's the closest thing to being sexual without being sexual overtly.
All right. We have a caller, Dr. Pat. Hello, caller. Welcome. Do you have a question for Dr. Pat?
Hello.
They're gone. Okay, so this one's sad, and it really brings me to a point that I'd love to talk about further after this question. You said there's a lid for every pot.
I said that truly.
I am not beautiful. I'm 32 years old, and I'm still a virgin. Nobody ever asks me out. I don't know what to do. I'm lonely.
I appreciate that. My suggestion is that you find some makeover. Maybe you come to my seminars in L.A. at the Odyssey Theater and go to the mingle afterwards, or get on the hot seat and talk to me about it, or you go to the Costa Mesa Neighborhood Center in Costa Mesa, the Airplane Park area, and you go and you listen to me talking and teaching people about, look, whatever your deficit is, if you're taking care of yourself, that means clean, that means watching your diet, that means combing your hair. If you're taking care of yourself, you can attract someone that sees your good nature, your virtue, and in effect learns to like you. But you have to hunt. You have to be in society. You have to go to church and then go to the coffee after church. You've got to go to Starbucks. Advertising Starbucks, but I'm not getting any benefit because I don't even drink coffee. But but if you go there and flirt and are friendly, sometimes the best relationships start out as just friendly companions, but one thing leads to another. So go shopping with what you've got as a body, a mind, and a spirit. Look in the eyes. Smile, and don't talk first, is my way of having you explore the candidates that might be attracted to you.
That's fantastic advice, and I hope that she listens to it. And I hope she's on the air listening right now, because I'm going to tell her that you have coming up March 1st from 9 to 5, a one-day seminar on chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
The three C's of falling in love.
In relationships. And that's down at the Holiday Inn in Long Beach, and you can register at www.wantistore.com. And again, that's a all-day seminar on these concepts, and I think it might do you a world of good. Again, www.istore.com. So, Dr. Pat, you were talking about 50 Shades of Grey, which I haven't read it and I haven't seen it, but my understanding of it is BDSM, which is much like the movie that I know you've talked about before, The Secretary.
Yes,
which
the
goes
secretary.
Back to the old book, The Story of O. So what is the line between BDSM and abuse? And
in abuse, you leave marks. In a mutually agreeable a bondage or, relationship, there are no marks. There is the fun of dominated and dominator. It's playfulness. It's, if you ever watch kids play, they get into that kind of stuff. In other words, they capture each other, they hunt each other. They do things which basically come in the category of this kind of play. So as long as both people are enjoying what they're doing, that's all it takes.
So the line would be when one or the other stops enjoying it, then
that's right.
The line. Okay, let me ask you this.
What?
Are there any one of these types of relationships that you've gone over earlier, convenient, codependent, covenant relationships, any one of those tend to move more into the abuse? My guess would be codependent one.
The codependent one would have a tendency to do it unless it's a codependency by mutual agreement. There are religions and cultures that believe in codependency, and therefore God participates, and they like it that way. So it depends on your intention.
Okay. Fabulous. Let me see. I think we have another question.
In fact, in the movie Secretary, the final scene is her sitting on the porch and him going off to work. They look like the Gothic couple from that, the painting.
The painting. With
the pitchforks and stuff.
Right. Right.
And I know what they're demonstrating in that scene is that, look, if you enjoy it and you don't do damage, have at it. Life is too short not to be creative.
Okay, our other question is, my husband says he's never jealous. If I go out or if other men look at me, he seems very emotionally content. But I'm wondering, does it mean he doesn't love me? Dr. Pat, what's your position on jealousy in a relationship?
Well, David Buss has a wonderful book, and it's called Dangerous Passions. And the premise in his book is jealousy is an attitude of territoriality. She's mine. He's mine. Men have a characteristic territoriality attitude towards their women, kids, houses, money, cars, property, whatever. And when they don't have territoriality, maybe they're really not men. Because inevitably, in every relationship, one person is territorial over the other. It could be the woman. It would be very interesting to see if this man is okay with his wife or girlfriend doing what she wants to do because he himself believes he belongs to her and he's the zero and she's the 10.
I see. We have another one. I have a good marriage, but I'm always looking at porn and looking at people on Facebook. I don't want my wife to find out, but I can't seem to help myself. I love flirting and with others.
I have a basic physiological premise. I don't think the eyes of a man are stationary. I think they're free-floating orbs that look for pleasure wherever they are. If it's porn on the internet, if it's a pretty waitress, you know, and they're drooling into their soup, I kind of think that that's bad etiquette, but normal man. So what I teach men is, look, if you're going to oogle, please, not with your wife present. Do you see?
I agree with that.
That's a sport that should be reserved for a room or a place where your wife isn't.
Or your significant other. I agree.
Yes.
We have a lady here who is saying she's very upset. And she says her boyfriend is calling her less and less and less. She doesn't know what she's done or what she can do. What's happening, Dr. Pat? Is this relationship falling apart? Is he growing tired of her? Is it just a cycle of a relationship?
Relationships tend to ebb and flow in the normal state of being. So if he hasn't told her what's wrong, that's a time when she might want to go to a spiritual director at her church or temple. She might want to come to somebody like me, and she might want an expert opinion about what's going on between them. I am a transactional analyst. I evaluate people and their negotiating skills. Other people listen to feelings. Other people, I do dream analysis. There's all kinds of ways of finding out what the hidden story is. So maybe you can't get it yourself. You might need somebody to help you get the message.
Awesome. We have a caller, Dr. Pat. Hi, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hello.
I have a question. Pat,
yes?
You said my husband has anger issues, and you've said that his father gave him the job too early and that his mom overcompensated. How would he heal from that, those anger issues?
How could he heal? Well, first of all, you would tell him how painful it is to watch it and hear it, and you would tell him that when he does it, the price will be. And it may very easily be you'll leave the room. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you, first of all, I'll tell you how to speak to him. Honey, I don't know what his name is, but I don't need to. Honey, I want to talk to you about something that's very sensitive for me. Would it be convenient today, sometime? And if he says, would he answer that with yes? Would he listen to you?
Yes.
Okay. Then when he said, yes, now is fine, I would stroke him. I would say, you know I really love you. And 99% of the time, you're just fine with me and I with you, hopefully. But when you go off on your own in anger, it really frightens me. What do you think about putting up a punching bag in the garage, and when you want to be angry, go beat the tar out of the punching bag, yell at it, do whatever you want to it. But please, would you be so kind as to not scare me or and the kids?
Yeah. So that would heal him, that communication.
What that would do, it would be to distract him from using it where it was causing damage. See, we all have anger issues, but some of us take tennis rackets and pound on pillows. Some of us tear up paper and, you know, some of us throw darts in pictures. We all have our little gimmicks. Some of us eat in order to not be angry. We drink. We do things. But the truth of the matter is, finding a positive way. I call it a MAD center. I think every grade school should have a MAD center where a little kid can go in and just kick the, you know, those stand-up clowns and those stand-up punching bags, and just punch it out until you actually are tired.
Well, I think he has an avenue for that, but what does it mean that he got the job too early?
The job of being an adult too early?
Yes, a man.
Okay. Was he his mother's replacement husband?
Yes.
Okay, so he lost his childhood. Many, many women emotionally mate with their eldest son. And the sad
part, he's the oldest.
I know that. And the oldest son ends up being a woman caregiver too early when he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be learning that he's got muscles and, pardon the expression, balls. And he's supposed to be out in the world hacking his way to his own destiny. But if he is a caregiver for his mother or the family too early, he loses his childhood and gets very angry about it.
Yeah, that's it, I think. And his father was angry, too.
Well, his father may have had the same kind of situation.
His father's mother died when he was very young.
Well, do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So, anger management, there are people. You know what? Boxing class. We have exercise centers now which literally dissipate anger by doing boxing and kicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he tends to be very critical in his head about me at certain times, but I verbalize that. I've asked him, I said, I feel very uncomfortable when you become overly critical towards me, and then it escalates to anger. And I said, I have to walk away when you do that.
Yes, that's the price tag. You might want to learn some of my tools. If you go to drpatallen.com, you'll see all kinds of things that you can look at, read, learn. The tools are the communication tools of respect. You have a right to do that. I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't want to experience this. And so when you do that, I'm going to go into my bedroom or I'm going to take a walk because I really don't want to go through this.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Pat. Love you.
Okay. Thank you. Love you, too.
Thank you, caller. You can find that at www.wantistore.com. All right, Dr. Pat, I think we have time for maybe one more question. A couple has had a baby boy about 11 months ago.
Okay.
They're having no sex, and neither of them are interested. This is a very romantic holiday that's coming up. And this girl is feeling like, why? What's happened to us?
Maybe what you've done is you've gone from lovers to parents, and you're concentrating your libido on the pleasuring of this little child. Now, that's fine, except that little child is maybe not going to feed back to you the love you expect from him as he grows older, and therefore he can't afford to receive that much attention. I choose to believe, and I think statistics prove, that making love, if you're married and in a relationship of significance, making love once a week is rather basic. So if you're not doing that, perhaps you're diverting your sensual energy towards being parents more than lovers. And you have a right to do that. But the problem with that is the bodies tend to forget each other. And that's the beginning of the potential danger of an affair.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Dr. Pat. I think that, you know, when they've detached from each other because they're so attached to the child.
Yes.
They forgot about each other. Essentially, you come, I understand because I'm a mother. You come home and you're tired and the baby's crying, you've got spit up on your shoulder, you're not feeling sexy.
Right.
He comes home, he's tired, you've got spit up on your shoulder, you're not smelling sexy. So it really puts a, it can really put a wedge in those relationships and those feelings. So,
I recommend a little nap and then maybe a shower together. In my book, Getting to I Do, on page 218, I have my how to resensualize your relationship. Here's what you do. Set aside a piece of time. Feed each other grapes or whatever finger food you can. But don't talk. Use music that has no words. Change the light bulbs to a candle. Change the air to incense. Take a shower, take a bath together. Wash each other, dry each other, massage each other. Make love. You'll be as close to that as you can get because you've sensitized your bodies. So with that in mind, start setting aside an hour a week where you can mix water, incense, candles, music, touch, but stop talking. Don't talk. Making love is a physical event, not an intellectual one.
Right. I agree, Dr. Pat. We're almost at the end of our show. I can't believe how fast it went by. I have one more question I want
to ask
you.
What is that? What is that?
You said perfect little boys and perfect little girls end up on my couch. And I think what we've got going on here is we have quite a few perfect little boys and girls that might need to be on your couch.
Well,
what is your
if
advice?
They don't, if they're not perfect, there are no perfect people, and actually no one is worth marrying. You have to want to be married enough to marry a finite, fallible human being. And if they're 51% valuable, keep them. There's not a lot out here. Do you see?
I do see. Well, what would you like to say to our audience?
What I'd like to say to my audience right now is, remember, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on the air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. I want to remind you to visit our website at www.drpatallen.com. Find the information about our one-day seminar, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication in Relationships at www.wanteyestore.com. And find us, follow us, and tweet with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Return with us again on Friday. Next week. Oh, we've got one call. Dr. Pat, we've got a minute. Let's grab it. All right, caller, you're our very last call before we sign off. You're with Dr. Pat Allen. You have a question?
No, I've just been trying to get to listen. I couldn't get in. So I don't have a question at the moment.
Okay, it was nice hearing you.
Thanks for joining us. Come back again Friday. And if you have a problem, you can contact Kelly at socializeme.com.
Socializeme.com. Okay.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get in to listen.
All right. You know what? She can help you figure out the links again.
Thank
Kelly
you.
At socializeme.com. Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
It's over now, huh?
It is over. We're 1 minute out. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's it for us tonight. And I want to thank everybody for coming out. Dr. Allen.
I'd like to say good night. And next time I'll have a glass of water next to me so I don't dry up my throat.
And happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Thank you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.